Each year in Crescent City, California, there's a unique festival unlike any other anywhere in America. It's called the Camome Festival. Joining me on the exchange to tell us about it is Bill Steven, president of the Camome Foundation. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So tell us about the Camome Festival in Crescent City.
So the Camome Festival was conceived by the Crescent City, the city of Crescent City, about 3 years ago. And the Camome Foundation, we assist them and we're honored to be part of it. And it all started from a boat that washed up on our shore about 2013.
Okay, well, let's get to the boat in just a second. Help me with this name. I'm mispronouncing it. Pronounce it for me.
Are you talking about Camome?
Camome. There we go.
Yeah.
So, Camome, where does that name come from?
So, in 2011, there was the great Tohoku earthquake of East Japan that caused all the devastation and tsunamis, and it was just a horrible thing. A lot of people perished. A lot of debris coming across the ocean. And in 2003, we had a 14-foot fiberglass panga wash up on our beach, our south beach, just south of Crescent City, just south of the harbor. And we did a little research, and it turned out to belong to a tiny little town up in the north called Rikuzen-Takara. And it belonged to their high school marine sciences unit. And many students and teachers, along with other people in the community, had perished. But as they were getting everything back together in their tiny little fishing and logging community, they wanted the boat back because of its journey and just because of the meaning that it held for them. And so we decided to get it back for them.
And so how did that happen? You cleaned up the boat. Who was involved in that?
Yeah, well, first of all, to answer your question, we researched the name on the boat and in Japanese, and it was Camome, which is Japanese for seagull.
Okay.
So the boat, I'm retired undersheriff with the sheriff's office here in Del Norte County. At the time, we had it in our back parking lot, and months went by, and I knew they wanted it back, so at the time, I knew that it was had belonged to a high school, and at the time, I had a son that was a sophomore in high school here at Del Norte High, and so we kind of came up with the idea to involve some more high school kids to clean up the boat and work on getting donations to get the boat returned to Rikuzen-Takara.
And you were with the sheriff's department when all this started?
Yes.
And so you got the high school involved, and the kids helped clean this boat up and got it back to its owner.
Yeah, it was really difficult at first because we weren't really making the getting the donations we needed. But Yusen Shipping Lines, a Japanese cargo line, found out and said if we could get that boat to Oakland, they would take it to Tokyo for free. And so then Recology or refuse people here in Del Norte County to pick up the garbage. They said they would take it to Oakland. So everything started falling into place.
That's a lot of work just to get a boat back across the ocean. How long did it take for the boat to float all the way here?
It took about a year and a half. And when it got here, it was covered in gooseneck barnacles and didn't even look like a boat.
So who found it?
There were some people that were on South Beach that found it. They called the sheriff's office. We had, because of the devastation at the Fukushima Daiichi nuclear power plant in Japan, there was a small concern that maybe some of the stuff coming over the ocean over the next couple of years after the event in 2011 could be radioactive. To my knowledge, nothing ever came to the West Coast or anywhere that was radioactive, but at a concern, they called us and we went and took the boat and made sure that it was clean and safe.
So the boat was not contaminated?
Correct.
Where's the boat now?
So we got the boat to Japan, and I was told that it was displayed in Japan's version of the Smithsonian for temporarily while it was in Tokyo. It finally made its way to Rikers and Dakota, where it was in a temporary museum for a period of time. And, you know, the thing, I want to make sure I'm putting our message out, and that is that these kids, they did a nice thing for somebody without expecting anything in return. And when they both got to Japan, we thought that it was over. But the Tomodachi Initiative in Japan all of a sudden say, hey, we want you guys to come over to Rikers and Dakota so that they can thank you. And so those six kids and I and a few other people actually got to go over there, and it was quite the trip, and that was in 2014.
Oh, that's beautiful. So the city is called Rikers and Dakota?
Rikers and Dakota.
And what's the size of this city? Give us a sense of the scale.
You know, it's really amazing because, you know, we here in Crescent City, we have our own tsunami history, and we're kind of a small logging and fishing town up north. And that's exactly what Rikers and Dakota is. It's this quiet town about the size of Crescent City with the same industries and, you know, fishing, logging. It's uncanny, the comparisons, you know, the tsunami history, albeit, you know, much more devastating for them than our 64 event.
My guest is Bill Steven. He's president of the Kamamei Foundation, which hosts the annual Kamamei Festival in Crescent City. So, Bill, aside from hosting the festival, is there anything else the Kamamei Foundation does, or is planning and managing the festival the only focus?
So, we partner with the City of Crescent City for the festival, and I'll talk about some of those events real quick. Sorry if I'm taking up too much time on the history, and I'll wrap it up.
No. We have time, because that history is important. That's the reason why you have the festival, right?
Yeah. All right. So I will, you know, the kids, they got to meet with the Caroline Kennedy was the ambassador at the time, that she'd heard about it. And she asked us to her house in Tokyo for lunch. So that was really nice. But so what happened was, is since from 2014 to now, a lot of things happened. The relationship grew and grew and grew. People were going back and forth. We were sending our kids there. They were sending our kids over here. They were sending professionals, teachers. A kid took copious notes at the Seaquake Brewery, and he now has a brewery in Rikers and Dakota, a small little craft brewery. We had teachers on a grant. We had like 20-plus teachers from Rikers and Dakota. They changed things in that area that the Iwate Prefecture, it caught the attention of the prefecture, and they said, hey, what's going on with the statistics and the numbers, because they were getting better. They said, well, it's because of that you know, trip that we all made to Crescent City and did training for different types of teaching techniques.
When you say prefecture, tell me what that is.
So the prefecture is basically, you know, we call our states, and that's the equivalent in Japan. That's what they call their states, is prefectures.
Gotcha.
So it was basically their version of Sacramento saying, hey, what's going on? You guys are doing good things. How did that happen? But yeah, there's just all kinds of amazing things that, you know, that the businesses we've got, our Rumiano Cheese is partnered, and we've got different other businesses in town. Everything has really, really grown. And so our sister city relationship has really grown. I've been to Japan 3 times now. You know, we've had city officials, business owners going back and forth. It's just an amazing relationship. And then what it's turned into now is this this Kamamei Festival. And again, we help the city of Crescent City. And it's not, a lot of it has to do with a cultural exchange that has continued to grow, and it's amazing. But we also have, you know, other messages. You know, this whole relationship was born out of tragedy, and so we're constantly teaching emergency preparedness and emergency management. One of the things that's already kicked off the festival is they'll have every third and fourth grader in the entire district bus to the cultural center down at Beachfront Park, and they'll go through a myriad of stations both inside and outside with law enforcement, fire, EMS, emergency management. It's just amazing how many stations they'll go through so as to teach that emergency preparedness message.
Is there a similar theme festival in your sister city in Japan?
That I know of, no. But they are growing. They have, you know, we have started the, we wanted to pull it away from government and get it into private hands. And that's why we made the Kamome Foundation. And our main mission is that cultural awareness and emergency preparedness, and especially assisting the Japan Club in keeping these kids going back and forth. But in Rikus and Takeda, they have recently, just in the last year, formed the Rikus and Takeda Crescent City Friendship Organization, and so they've followed us in that respect, and they're starting to do their own things that are similar to what the Kamome Foundation does.
Oh, this is beautiful. So you have student cultural exchanges, you've got teacher cultural exchanges, you've got entrepreneurs. You have tourism going back and forth. No tariffs, right?
No, not that I know of.
How has the festival grown over time?
You know, I was amazed when I first heard of the 3 years ago, when I first heard of the festival, I was like, that's great. That's a great idea. And there was all these amazing things that we did at the festival. I said, this is great. And I was told by people, hey, we're just crawling right now. We're going to make this even better. And better it became. You know, last year was our second year, and I was amazed at how much it had grown just in 1 year. And now all the stuff that's planned for especially this coming Friday and Saturday is, you know, far advanced from even last year. So it's amazing how much it keeps growing.
Well, let's get a list of the agenda and some of the events that are going on.
Yeah, so Seaquake Brewery, you know, they made a Kamome Ale years ago that they continue to sell, and we've got Rumiano Cheese made a Kamome Dry Jack that they sell to this day, and so they'll be involved. We have Porta Pints Brewery here in town, and they're going to kick off everything Thursday night with a karaoke Thursday evening starting at 6:30. This is, on Friday, this is one that I'm really looking forward to. I've never even heard about it, but it's cardboard boat races. We've got several teams of two people that are constructing cardboard boats. And then at the municipal swimming pool down at Beachfront Park, we'll have races. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
And that's 5 o'clock
Friday evening at 5. Then we have Porta Pints down by the harbor, their event building. They're going to have kind of kick off the Friday evening thing with fire dancers and all kinds of other stuff that they have planned. Saturday morning, we have Shinrin Yoku Forest Bathing. It'll be hosted by the Redwood Parks Conservancy. That's going to be kind of a form of a guided yoga thing in the Redwood Forest. I think that's sold out. I'm not sure. That was very popular. We have a Aikido demonstration at 10 o'clock. Saturday morning, there's a walking tour at 10:30 that myself and the former mayor, Blake Inscore, who's been involved in this since the beginning with me, and we'll be doing a walking tour. Taiko drums, very, very awesome thing that they have in Japan, and it's, you know, throughout the world now, but in Eureka, they have a taiko group in Eureka, and they have been here since the beginning. They did... this will be the third year they've done it with us.
Okay, well, that's all the time we have, though, Bill. If anyone wants to know more, what should they do?
They should go to the Kamome Festival on the website. They can Google Kamome Festival or the Kamome Foundation.
Okay.
And get information.
Thanks so much. My guest was Bill Steven. He's president of the Kamome Foundation, which hosts the annual Kamome Festival in Crescent City.